Neil Patelia, thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. So in this week's episode, I chat to Mansi Zavari. She's the founder of Kidstock Press. Kidstock Press is India's leading parenting website. This is an amazing website that has its pulse on everything today's parents want to know. So in this episode, we talk about what inspired her to do this. In the early days, she reflects on what she has learned on her roller coaster journey so far and discusses the top three priorities in her life. It's really interesting. So Mansi also shares her 15 years experience in branding, content and all things digital marketing. She talks about her life as a solo founder and a full-time mother. And we've also got some Oprah Winfrey and some food chat as well. So please enjoy the show. Thank you.
Hello, Mansi. Thanks for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thanks, Neil.
Brilliant. Tell me a little bit about what you're building, please.
So Kidstock Press is a digital parenting platform that we're trying to build to simplify parenting, because today the biggest problems that parents face is paradox of choice, and we believe that parenting is a really simple process, but because a lot of parents in India are moving towards the nuclear family setup, it's just getting it's getting a bit complicated in terms of being alone in raising your children, and therefore there's no real platform that unifies all the information that a parent is looking for in the digital space, and especially in the Indian context, right? Mm-hmm. So we're trying to do that for Indian parents across the globe, because we realize that Indian parents across the globe want to go back to the way they were brought up, but unfortunately, there's no Indian context to it. There are a lot of parenting platforms, but they all have an international character to it. While the Indian landscape, culturally, physically, socially, is so different, mm-hmm. that the parents' needs are also very different. So very simply put, we're a digital platform, trying to simplify parenting for Indian parents across the globe.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. What inspired you to do this? Can you remember the light bulb moment?
Right. I've had a career spanning across 15 years in digital, in lifestyle, in brand creation, and towards the latter half of my corporate life, I realized that I was I was a mom by then, and I realized that, you know, as urban Indian working parents, we're spending about 60-70% in front of a digital device. And that was about 2011-12, when India was really going through the digital and social boom, I would say. And social was coming up in a big way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there has to be a way that a parent sitting on his or her desk can have a more integrated and inclusive approach to parenting versus just leaving your child in the daycare or leaving them with grandparents, not knowing what to do, where to take them, how to spend the weekend, because really we really have no options, because today parenting is getting more inclusive, and kids and parents want to do, and families rather, want to do everything together. So how do you figure that out sitting on your desk? And that was the moment when the idea just sparked, and I quit my job to start this. So it was always, the vision was always there, to build a platform or build a brand that connects and simplifies the life of the parent. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. What were the early days like then? Any obstacles?
Oh, absolutely. So early days were like, so everybody like I said, India was going through a whole digital social retail boom at that point in time. And given the kind of career opportunities I had in front of me, everybody thought that I was probably insane to be doing this, because being an entrepreneur, being a founder at that point in time was not so glamorous that it is today, right? Mm-hmm. People thought that, just like any other girl, I'm probably just quitting my job and, I'm going to be like I'm just building something for a hobby, mm-hmm. And not really a business. So they thought that, it's okay, what she's doing. I mean, it's fine. I mean, as far as it contributes a little bit of pocket money, I think she should be doing fine. So I think that belief in yourself and the discipline to kind of just be at it every day and say, hey, I'm going to do this, and believe in what I'm doing is great, right? And early days were like, all right, there was me, my phone, and my laptop, and that was about it. And great internet connection, right? I think that's pretty much all that I had. And I remember that first comment or that first invite to a place, or the first time an article would go up or a review would actually go up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's actually one of the big unique points for Kidstop Press, right? So we're the only parenting platform in India currently that reviews, curates and creates things for, you know, reviews a place or reviews a product for parents, because we understand that parents are spending so much time and money and energy to go to a place or to buy a new product or to experience a service, right? Mm-hmm. And how do you make that, how do you help parents make that informed choice? So that was the whole genesis of the product. And, you know, so I'm glad that the minute, I mean, starting out is always like a one-man show, and then obviously building the bricks and getting all of those bricks to kind of believe in your vision.
Excellent. What was the reaction of your friends and family when you said you're going to quit and do
it? Yeah, like I said, right? They thought I was probably... So my parents were absolutely, absolutely shaken, because we come from a family where everybody's, you know, extremely educated, has really settled jobs. And it's, you know, I mean, everybody in the corporate space, my parents probably thought that... I was crazy, right? Because even though my dad's into business, they said, listen, you know, I mean, we don't understand what you're doing. I mean, they still don't get it. My parents still don't get it. They, you know, like when people come up to them and say, hey, your daughter does this, and my dad would be like, and my mom would be like, yeah, I get it. But really, I mean, she still thinks I'm probably, you know, I'm just somebody on the internet, and... she still doesn't know what I'm doing, and she doesn't think it's cool enough. So, but yeah, that one person who really could see my vision through, I think, was my husband, who said, listen, dude, if you believe in this, you know, you just got to go at it. And, you know, I mean, whatever it takes, right? If you have, if you're really passionate about it, and I mean, we both saw this as a great market opportunity as well. So he said, listen, if you believe in this, then just go for it. And I was like, absolutely. And yeah, after that, there's been no looking back. So I think when you start out, I think it's people would really think you're crazy, right? I've read so many startup founder stories. And I remember reading this about, you know, Bhavesh Agarwal of Ola, and he's saying somewhere that his parents really thought, you know, my son's going to be a travel agent, and dude, how can my son be a travel agent? Yeah, and he's like, you know, he's like a really big startup guy today with Ola Cabs. But I mean, I think it takes a lot for friends and family to believe that, okay, this is going to, you know, this idea is going to take shape someday, and it's going to be interesting. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting also as a startup founder to see how the ideas and attitudes and reactions of people change as those as that building keeps getting closer to completion or keeps getting higher in you know, towards your vision. So it's interesting to see all of those ideas and all those reactions and, you know, stuff evolve and change as well.
Excellent. Can you remember the actual moment then you thought, actually, this is going to work, you know, people like the website, et cetera, et cetera?
I think, so, you know, we're in the midst of doing our fourth season of Kidstop Press Awards, which is awarding the best in parenting and baby care. And, you know, when I started out in December 2011, and by about Feb 2012, we had the Kidstop Press Awards season one. And, you know, I saw the traffic on the website go crazy, right? Because it's a popular voting platform. And, you know, parents really need to award the service or the brand that's caused a significant stir in their parenting journey. And when I saw that traffic numbers, you know, with very few brands back then, but go through that curve, right? When I saw the numbers just explode, I was like, dude, there has to be something, you know, there has to be something in here, because, you know, you're building the category. And in our case, literally, because we were one of the first movers in this space, I have seen the space evolve, right? So I would say that, you know, that reaction to some of the best moments have actually come by in the last maybe 1 or 2 years, because you just realized that you were one of the first guys to be building the category, right? So people didn't even know that, you know, people would buy or consume products or services by somebody else's influence, or, you know, you could be an influence in that space and drive so many decisions, right? From which car do you buy to which, you know, which phone you should be getting, to what your kids should be eating for breakfast, or which school they should be going to, mm-hmm. or which after class, after school activities, like, or, you know, games are really in. So you're pretty much driving all of those decisions. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see how the categories actually evolved. And especially for us, because we have seen that through, right? Mm-hmm. From a category that didn't exist to building that category. Mm-hmm. And then on obviously seeing... you know, so today on our awards, we get about 60,000 people voting every single season. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, you know, so we've grown from about 20 categories to 33 categories and about 70 nominees to about 280 nominations today. So it's an awesome journey. And of course, every time that you meet a parent, be it at a social event or be it at an event that we're curating, you realize that you are actually making a difference to somebody's life, right? Mm-hmm. And I think when they say that, listen, every time you recommend something or it's, you know, or something that you suggest, or I always swear by what you say, I feel like a huge sense of responsibility more than, you know, a sense of achievement, because you feel responsible for so many people, because at the end of the day, you're dealing with children and parents, right? So, you can't be wrong. Mm-hmm. You might as well get your stuff in place because there's no messing around with this sort of category play, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting and it's a very fulfilling experience because you know, it's literally, like I said, it's starting out from scratch. So it's interesting.
Excellent. You've got a lot of content on the website. I mean, do you have a specific content strategy? Obviously, we may have listeners who may need some help with their content on their website. Have you got any tips?
Yeah, so Kids Stop Press caters to parents, actually to couples who are looking at starting out a family. Mm-hmm. So right at conception stage, so that's about minus 9, going all the way up to 8 years till your child is about 8 or 9 years. Mm-hmm. And we are looking at helping these set of parents make informed choices on every milestone of their child's life. And it's got to be very cognitively placed because parenting is a journey you've never treaded before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here I'd like to quote what Charles Duhigg once, you know, in his book Habits said that, you know, parents or parents-to-be are, or expectant parents rather, are a gold mine for any brand, because that's one point in time in the lifetime of consumer that he or she is willing to change every habit that they have because they are actually taking onus of a new life, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So be it your toothpaste, be it your shower gel, be it your coffee, be it your tea, you're going through that metamorphosis to make every possible thing right, mm-hmm. to give birth to your child, right? So so we are, and that journey is so... you know, we're with you in that journey. We're literally like your virtual nanny. So you want to figure out which hospital you want to go to, who should be your OBGYN, or who should be your pediatrician, or what are you going to need as soon as you deliver, or where are you going to get it? How are you going to celebrate your baby's first birthday? And, you know, so on and so forth. And addressing that with a multimedia dispensing channel, right? So be through audio, where we have our radio station for parents and for kids, which is a digital platform, because we figured that kids are obviously consuming content which is not age appropriate, and how can you address their curiosity? Mm-hmm. So we have a radio station for both parents and kids. We have obviously the website where they can get everything by city and by age of child. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, we have our YouTube channel where they can get to know of a lot of DIYs, food ideas, interview and conversations, a lot of interesting people, celebrities and experts. And most recently, where we've launched our subscription program where they get a curated experience and you know, and discounts across all the partnering brands that we have. And we have about 50 odd partnering brands today, because we realize that parents keep going back mm-hmm. to the same place again and again, because the pester power of the child is so high, mm-hmm. and your life cycle as a consumer in that space is also very high. So if your child is between 6 months to 24 months or 36 months, chances of you going back to a play area in your vicinity is so strong mm-hmm. that, you know, you become a repeat consumer automatically. Mm-hmm. And this category does not want to try. So therefore, this subscription program, which is called KSP Code, is what we launched last summer and in Bombay. And now it's going to roll out in Delhi and Bangalore as well. So interesting space because... you know, you're connecting on every milestone and every possible space or touch point that the parent is present in.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So looking forward, what is the plan for the next 12 to 24 months?
I think the plan for the next 12 to 24 months is, of course, to ensure that we're building world-class teams. We already have a great team, but trying to get, more progress on that. And we're obviously upgrading our technology to make it more more user-friendly and, of course, trying to integrate it more cognitively and tell better stories, right? Because today it's not about... it's not about just brand building, but it's about engaging and helping brands say their stories and say more compelling stories. So I think, that'll absolutely be the plan. And building, like I said, a 360-degree media company mm-hmm. and ensuring that we're touching, a parent's life, every touch point that a parent is on and at. So that would be interesting. And, of course, to continue what we've always stood for, which is, which is being trusted and curated, right? So that's obviously our vision, and that's going to stay and in tandem with what Kidstoppers believes in, which is simplifying parenting. So the next 12 to 24 months will, of course, go in rolling that out.
Mm-hmm. What's it like being a solo founder then? Because obviously when I do this podcast, they usually have like co-founders, but you're a solo founder. How are you finding that?
I think it's interesting and at the same time it's tough. Okay, so I've when I started out, a lot of people told me that, dude, you have to get a co-founder. It's very lonely to be out there and be all alone. But honestly, I would have if the right. So it wasn't that I was averse to getting a co-founder. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't really find the right match, right? So I would have loved to get somebody along the way because I think it eases out a lot of pressure on the founder mm-hmm. Because it's hard. I mean, entrepreneurship is, I think, the toughest thing that I've... And I keep joking about this to everybody, right? So I'm a mom of two and I said, I can push another baby, but I don't think entrepreneurship is for everyone, right? It's the toughest thing that I've really done mm-hmm. Because you're... Every day is a different ride. So I would say that if you get a co-founder who believes in your vision and, you know, who believes exactly in the same goals, objectives, and has the same sort of passion that you have for your company, then that's great. But don't hold on to an idea because you don't have a co-founder, right? Or you haven't managed to get one yet. That's what I would say. I mean, it's been hard. I mean, sometimes you want to like stop, breathe, but there's no time to do that because you're always on the treadmill and there's just no stop button because you're the sole founder. But I think that's okay. So if you get somebody along, that's great. But if you don't, then just build a world-class team. Mm-hmm. And in fact, now when we're upgrading our tech, we're actually getting somebody who are going to be more than tech partners. I would say they would literally be like our tech co-founders. So just when the marriage has to happen, it will happen. So I would say just like I said, don't hold on to your dream or your idea because you are a sole founder. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So those sole founders who are listening to this podcast, what should they be focusing on? What's the one thing they should be focusing on?
I keep telling this to everybody, right? So one is obviously that the idea is way bigger than the entrepreneur. Always keep the idea and the product at the forefront because that's the only thing that's going to drive everything. You have to have the grit, discipline, and resilience to keep going back to the drawing board again and again and show up every single day because there's just no... because there's just no other way to be an entrepreneur. Or maybe there's just no other way I know how to be an entrepreneur. Because, you know, you just have to kind of just, you know, just be out there and do the job, right? So, and of course, the ability to multitask, right? So you're wearing multiple hats as a founder. I would say whether you're a founder, co-founder, anybody, any entrepreneur, but you, at the end of the day, the entrepreneur has to wear multiple hats, take responsibility. Even when the chips are down sometimes, you know, you just have to get up, stand up, show up, broaden your shoulders and say, okay, I'm going to steer the ship from here on, right? Inside, you might be feeling like, hey, I can't do this, but you have to put on that facade and drive the team because everybody's expectations and you know, everybody's expectations and eyes are on you. So I think that's very, very important. The other bit I would say is also that you know, time is of the essence, right? You have only 24 hours in a day, so just prioritize what you're going to do, especially if you're a single founder, because you will not be able to do everything. So you have to really, really prioritize what you're going to outsource, what you're going to keep within, and prioritize basis that, right? Know your strengths and weaknesses. Don't be afraid or shy away from admitting or accepting you know, what you could do better or what you could outsource, because like I said, you're not going to be able to do everything really. So that would be interesting. And I would say, yeah, I mean, and of course, because nobody will be able to eat, breathe, sleep, live the life that you're going to live. I mean, if you find a team, which I think is extremely important, who believes in your vision. So do that, build a team that believes in your vision. But remember that, you know, there will be lots of people coming along the way who will kind of steer you away from your vision. But just keep your eyes on the target with blinkers on. And yeah, I guess that's about it.
What would you say you've learned from your journey then so far?
I think that the one or two things that really stand out in my journey would be that entrepreneurship is really tough. But I would say that I would want it any other way. And the best part is if you can, I mean, in the last 4 years, I haven't found a single moment when I said, dude, I can't do this anymore. I mean, I've found many more moments where I can say, damn, it's Sunday night. I want Monday morning to begin. I'm raring to go to work, right? So if the Monday morning blues don't really affect you or don't bother you and you're really looking forward to a Monday, I think you're an entrepreneur because you're just so possessed with that idea and so possessed with just doing the best and achieving that excellence in whatever you're passionate about or whatever's the vision of your company. So I think that's, you know, that's one thing that I've learned. And of course, grit and resilience, right? So you've got to bounce back every single time. I think discipline, grit is something that I think is entrepreneurship is incomplete without both of these.
Excellent. Can you give us some examples then of when you had to bounce back?
It could be multiple reasons, right? Multiple ways, right? So sometimes, you know, when you're doing things, and so when we're writing an article or we're shooting some product and it doesn't actually turn out to be the way it is, or you're looking at the numbers at the end of the month and it's not what you planned or what you put on paper, right? Because every startup has those target numbers and sometimes it doesn't have that. But, you know, you've got to pull up your team because sometimes they're demotivated and say, hey, we're going to do this, right? And, of course, you're the last one packing up because they can have good days and bad days, but, you know, and sometimes they can get derailed as well. But you've got to say, hey, you know, I can do it. So my definition of a CEO CDC is you're literally the CEO to what we call in India is the chaprasi, which is the office boy, right? Because you're literally the last man standing. So everybody, when everybody's down and out, you got to pick up the chips and say, hey, we're going to get through this. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Obviously, we may have like mums listening to this who may want to start their own business.
Right.
What advice would you give them? Any tips?
Yeah, so a lot of people actually ask me this, right? So how do you achieve, you know, I wonder, actually, why is this question always posed to, you know, this whole work-life balance thing is always posed to moms as opposed to dads, because I think in today's times, it's extremely challenging for even the dads to have that work-life balance, because parenting today is no longer a woman's job alone, right? So while I'm actually taking this Skype call, my husband's watching the kids. So it's interesting, but I would just say that, listen, I mean, if you want to start your own business, and I think this is again about entrepreneurship, that everybody's not going to believe in your idea. They don't think it's cool enough. But if you think it's cool enough, then just go out there and start. You know, you may succeed, you may not succeed. But it just really doesn't matter, right? And I think a lot of moms, especially in India, when, you know, we're speaking at, you know, at women conferences or startup conferences, they say that, you know, but I have to do this, but I have to do that. But like I said, discipline and grit, if you go after both of those, then I don't think, you know, that you're not going to achieve what you've set out for. And so I would say that, you know, if you are passionate about something, if you really want to do it, you always find time for it. It just looks really glorified out there that, hey, she can do it all. But really, you don't know what's going in her house, or you don't know what she's giving up for it. So it's not, I mean, people make it seem easy, but it's really not that easy. So if you want to just go ahead and start your own business, just go ahead and start your business. Because if you're going to think too much and deliberate over it too much and, you know, do a lot of fancy stuff after it and only then say, okay, now, cool, I don't really need to do it, then it's okay. That's really not okay. You need to just say, hey, I believe in it and I'm going to go after it. Also, you know, a lot of women starting out business, they always assume that their income is not significant or is not the one that's driving the household. And that's why they often feel demotivated. Again, I don't think that, at least when you're starting out or even otherwise, right? That, I mean, the money that you bring home, of course, that's important, but don't evaluate it as, is that going to make or break my house? Because if you're going to do that, then you're never going to go out and, you know, stretch yourself really hard to achieve your goals. If you're doing it only for the money, then that's a different story. But I think that's a big one for a lot of women, especially in India, who believe that, hey, you know, it's not going to make a big, make or break the kitty in the house. So, you know, why take so much effort? So it really depends on what's driving and what's after. Mm-hmm. And kids will always be there. I think everybody's done it. Every successful woman in the world every woman in the world, successful or not, has had babies and has had a family, and everybody needs to do it. So it really depends on what you want, right? And that's how... Again, priorities, right? You need to set them right. So if you, I mean, I think somebody once told me this, and I think it's very interesting, that you can have only three out of these five things being health, family, sleep, exercise, and business, right? So it depends on which five of these, and work stroke business. So it depends on which three of the five that you actually want. Mm-hmm. And then just go after it, right? So, I mean, you choose your three and then just go after building it. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. But then you're making a trade-off, right? So imagine everything in life is a choice. Mm-hmm. You decide what that choice is going to be for you. And I think that's the best way to go about building anything that you want, not only your business.
What are your three then?
My three are very clearly, or three and a half, right? My three clearly is health, family, and sleep. Okay. Right? So everything is kind of positioned around these three, because I feel if these three are in order, I can manage the rest very successfully. Right. So, I mean, I don't have any guilt about not spending enough time with my family, because I make sure that that's, you know, on the priority list. I sleep well because, like we all talk about these days, that sleep deprivation is like the biggest thing that's affecting most people, and it's the root cause of many illnesses and ailments. And the third, of course, is, like I said, health, right? So if you're healthy and you don't take a day off, it's perfect, right? Because you're working all the time. So I think, and I just feel like it works for me because... I just feel like it's easier when somebody else in the team is unwell or my kids are unwell, but I am I am always running, right? So it's just easier to handle it that way than if they're all okay and I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like these three work fantastically well.
Who are your business heroes?
So there would be, I think, two of them. One is, one would be, of course, Steve Jobs for building a product that's so desirable and building the product. I think everybody goes after building everything else but the product. So I think if you have a world-class product, everything comes by. So I think it would definitely be him. And the other one would be Oprah, because she's done what very few people have actually been able to achieve, which is, knowing her background and the way she's come to, the way she's built a brand for herself today. I think that's commendable, which just shows you that, in spite of many restrictions or limitations, if you need to shine and you need to do things, you're still going to be able to do it, right? And of course, build that sort of brand, which is credible. And even the way she's extended her brand to so many more things, right? I think that's commendable, because that's exactly what we're trying to achieve at Kidstop Press. Mm-hmm. Like kidstoppress.com is the overarching umbrella and the parent brand. And we're going to have so many different verticals under that brand. Like I said, the radio, TV, the subscription program, and the website, and all our offline events, that it kind of resonates so well that you're building something that you never let your consumer sort of exit that that lifespan that they're spending with you. Mm-hmm. Or similarly with Apple, right? Steve Jobs built this product and this desirability, and then you just keep adding more verticals. So I think those two really, really stand out for me.
Last few questions then. Let's say you met Oprah for a cup of coffee. What questions would you ask her?
you got me on that one. I actually have a long list of questions that I would want to ask her, right? So I think the first one up is, how did she do it? And especially with all the odds that she had, right? So coming from the background that she did, being black, how did she manage to do that? Because there was so much of adversity back then. So how did she manage to overcome that? Because I just feel like at times as you're rising higher, there's so many people that pull you back down. And even the whole gender equality thing, right? Women doing a talk show, starting out independent, building a complete media company now. So it's interesting how she's gone about doing it, right? So I actually have to be honest, Neil. I'll have to really I'll have to actually think, to pick a place that actually serves. Is really actually probably sucks at coffee. Sucks at the service. So I can get so much more time with her and make the most out of that coffee.
Excellent. What excites you most about what you're doing at the moment?
Well, I think the most exciting part about my job is that everyday life's changing, right? There is like what you learn today may be obsolete tomorrow. And technology is growing at such a rapid pace that I think that's exciting. The other exciting thing is that we're dealing with creatures who are just so damn unpredictable, right? You're dealing with kids at the end of the day, and no child is the same, no parent is the same, no parenting style is the same. And every part of India is so different. So a parent in the north is very different from the west to the east to the south. So just trying to address every cultural landscape and social landscape is really challenging and exciting at this point in time. And of course, like I said, just matching up to technology. So I think that's really, really exciting. What you can do today with technology is awesome, right? So every time we do like, say, a Facebook Live with somebody and you see so many different people joining in, be it not only from the metros, but the most remote town of India, and, connecting so many parents outside of India, right? So we have about 15 to 20% of our readers actually coming in from outside of the country, and it's exciting, right? Because they're tuning in different time zones, but tuning in especially to watch you, and when they comment that, listen, hey, I think this really helped me, or I swear by what you say, or this has really helped me in my parenting journey, and I recommended XYZ to also read it. I think that's like the biggest high in probably in my life.
Actually, do you have like any advice for digital marketing? Because obviously you've grown really quickly on this platform. Obviously you use Facebook, Twitter, etc., etc. Any advice for our listeners?
So one would be obviously that, you know, there's so many different social platforms out there. So choose the platform that's right for your audience, right? So example for our case, Pinterest works wonderfully. Pinterest and YouTube work brilliantly well for us because that's where a lot of the mothers go to and that's where they are. And obviously the second would be, so the first one, like I said, that choose the medium that works for your audience. Mm. You may, and choose the bandwidth that you have, right? So you may not be able to populate every single medium that you want basis the bandwidth that you have, but choose the right medium that works for your business. The second one would be that have differentiated content across all the platforms that you choose. Because it's very important for your reader to, if they're following you across different platforms, to find incremental value. Mm-hmm. The third would be that, disseminate content or whatever your product or whatever information that you have today on every different platform. Because social is being so restrictive and so cognitive today that if you are going to lose out, I mean, it's not like if I'm following you on all platforms, I'm you know, probably surfing to Instagram right now, but I missed your feed there. Mm. But hey, I caught up with Twitter later in the day, and I caught you there. So, you know, populate maybe same content, different time zones on different platforms, but make sure that your reader is also seeing differentiated, because if there's differentiated content, like I mentioned in point number two. The fourth would be that be early adopters of content that or social platforms that you think would work for you. Mm-hmm. Because as they get more and more popular, you're going to have a hard time building that audience, right? Because they all get monetized at some point, and then you're going to pay to get people onto your platform versus, or your following versus building that all organically like we've done. Fifth would, of course, be, you know, don't be shy to build a whole new space. Like we're the only parenting platform in the country currently looking at podcasting and radio for kids, like a digital radio for kids. So, you know, in a way, we've pretty much started, investing and creating that category. So if you need to do that, then be known for it. Like that's what our readers love us for. That if it's new, it's fun, it's exclusive, it's got to be Kidstop Res, because they keep doing new stuff all the time. So don't be afraid to try new stuff, and just try a new medium for sure. And according to me, audio and audio video both are going to be they're already really big, but they are going to be even bigger. So make sure that you capitalize on that platform. Mm-hmm. And I think the last bit which is actually the toughest, is be real. Like there is just no being perfect on social media. You just got to be real. I mean, there's no pretense, because people can see through. So it's very important to just be honest and let people see the real you.
No fake news.
No, no fake news and no fake you, right? Because like I said, they can see you and they can, I mean, see through very easily. So,
Ashley, what about branding then? Should startups think about branding right at the start, or should they think about it, you know, 6 months down the line, in your opinion?
I think it's very, you know, these are things that you should kind of close out early on, I would say, because, you know, you are building a brand or a product, right? So, and when you go through that exercise of building or branding, you know, a lot of things that you want to be and you don't want to be get very clear in your head as the leader. So I think it's very important to go through that exercise early on, because you don't want to be something to, you know, like be everything to some people and be something to very few people, right? So it's very important to know who your audience is and be relevant to them, right? So instead of just being jack of all, you'd rather, it'll help you filter out who your audience is, what you want to build, what does your brand, you know, what does your brand stand for? What does your vision stand for? So I think it's very important to go through that process early on. Because, you know, it just gets more complicated later on as you go along 6 months or 8 months or a year down the line. I know a lot of people who are 2 or 3 years down their business and they find it hard. Really, what am I doing? What do I stand for? What am I recognized for? So it's very important to, you know, go through that exercise early on because you'll clear out a lot of your doubts for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Away from this startup, what are your hobbies and interests?
I am, like I said, you know, 3 out of the 5 things, right? So I'm a food and fitness junkie, and I practice yoga, and I'm obsessed by it, and that's what helps me get my calm. And I love food, I love eating, and I love cooking. And besides that, and of course, reading, 3 things that drive me. But I would say, yeah, hobbies would be really that, and actually, maybe I think I don't create enough time for hobbies anymore because I just have too much on my plate. So really, except for 2 or 3 of these, I haven't managed to find time for anything else that I'd love to do.
What's your favorite food?
I think it would be Mexican food.
Okay, cool. What's your least favorite food then?
Least favorite food, I think would be North Indian food, right? Because I just find it... Just too heavy and, I don't know, not particularly exciting.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned books. Do you want to recommend any books to our listeners?
Yeah, so I read a couple of, I read a lot of startup, a lot of startups and startup books and a lot of entrepreneurship books and stuff like that. So I would definitely recommend Zero to One by Zero to One. I think every entrepreneur has to go read that one. The other one that I am currently reading is called and of course Charles Duhigg Habit is something that they definitely definitely should try and read as well. The other one that I'm reading right now is called is the Irrational Mind, and that one's really exciting as well because it just talks about. It just talks about how you can create demand for a lot of things that you want. So I would think that one as well. Even the tip of the iceberg, because that talks a lot about Indian startups. Mm-hmm. So that one's really exciting because it's important to see, because I think everybody wants to know about the, everybody's talking about the finished product, hey, that these guys did it like this and they're so successful. Mm. But if you go through the startup journeys of, the 5 or 10 founders that have really stirred up the Indian startup ecosystem, mm-hmm. it's interesting to see that these guys didn't have it easy either, right? Mm. So you're thinking, dude, typically questions that entrepreneurs will have, should I get a tech co-founder? Mm. How much equity should I part with? I don't have an office space. How do I build a team? Okay, I'm not doing well right now. How do I bounce back? Or fundraising? Or just too much competition in the space? Or quitting my job? Not quitting my job? How do I take that plunge? So all of these questions kind of get answered there. The book I was earlier mentioning was Predictably Irrational mm-hmm. by Fan Early. So again, very very extremely interesting. So all of these books, they're just great reads.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Indian startups. Do you have any like favorite Indian startups?
I think when I read this book, The Tip of the Iceberg, it was interesting how the Paytm founder's journey was. Like he wasn't educated in the typical Indian English-speaking schools, but actually was from a small town, and how he went about and how he actually gave away 40% of his company to somebody who just lent him office space and some servers and computers. And, so he gave away 40% of equity for that, and then how he bought that back and how he pivoted at the right time to create Paytm. I think his journey and his... his whole journey is something that really stood out for me. And I think he's built something that has, especially in the last 3 months, kind of really stirred the Indian economy. So I think his journey really stood out for me.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, last question then for people for people who want more information on you and what you do. How can they connect?
They could obviously log on to kidstoppress.com and find us on any and every platform. That would be Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, all at kidstoppress. So you can, and of course on YouTube as well. It's at kidstoppress. So you need anything, just shoot us a query or shoot us or tweet us or Facebook us. And yeah, happy to connect with more entrepreneurs like this.
Ranzi, thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thank you so much, Neil.
Brilliant. I wish you all the best as well.
Thanks for Manzi for coming on the show today. That's the end of the show. If you liked it, please leave a rating and review of the show. Just search for the Indian Startup Show on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Downcast, Instacast, Podkicker, and Apple TV. So if you have any feedback on the show or want to come on, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co.uk, or tweet at Indian Startup SH, or go to facebook.com/Indian Startup Show. We'd love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.